Welcome to Authors Talk About It. It's getting a little chilly in the Authors Talk About It studio today because of the book that we're going to be reviewing. I feel a chill in the air, even though it's a bright, beautiful, sunny day here in Colorado.
Well, we recently had the opportunity to interview Gabriella, which is our guest today, for our Mission Date Night podcast. And we enjoyed, all of us enjoyed each other so much, we said, oh my gosh, we need to have you on for Authors Talk About It, which is a little different focus today. We're going to be talking about her book, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning, and I'm very excited to have her back with us, and I want to introduce her. So, and I always laugh at myself, and she did help me remember how to say her name, but it's been a few moments, and I'm liable to butcher it, so hopefully I don't. I will try. We have with us today Gabriella Guglielminati-Tribo. She is an author, speaker, visionary, and feminine cycle consultant who helps women gain confidence, authority, and fulfillment in life by knowing better their body. And she helps women to make their feminine cycle their best friend, which I think is amazing, and I love the conversation, like I said, we had with her before. But I am excited because, like I said, I want to talk to you. We're going to be talking about, rather, the book that she has out, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. So welcome, Gabriella.
Welcome, Gabriella.
Thank you very much, Janelle and Robert, for having me a second time.
Oh, absolutely. Did I say your name okay?
Yes, it was perfect.
Yay!
One for Janelle.
One for you today. I'm marking on the wall. Can you tell us about the book that we're talking about today and tell our listeners what it's about?
Yeah, it's an autobiographical book and tells about my story of deciding to go to Antarctica. I was coming out of a difficult divorce that lasted a couple of years, and soon after my second court hearing, when all the legalities were sorted out, I went to an event and met Peter Bland, who is an Australian explorer, and he has been himself to the North and South Pole, but in the last 10-15 years he has been taking people to go to Antarctica, but with the purpose of testing themselves and challenging themselves. So the purpose of this trip would be to face fears and limiting beliefs. And so I was coming out of a very testing time for myself, and having been trained in the meantime in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is all about, how to use the power of your mind to get what you want and to further yourself in life, etc. So that for me represented an irresistible challenge too good to be missed, and so I thought I have to go. So I signed up, and that was in June 2007. But the trip in itself happened in March, or 9 months later, in March 2008. So I had these 9 months of in limbo, which was a challenge in itself. But then when it elapsed and I went there, the trip was, I would say life-changing, but what does it mean? For every person is different. What is life-changing for you? It can be something that for another person is something else. But for me, it was, I departed UK, I'm sure what would be the test for me, because I was quite okay with the outdoors, with ice climbing or stuff like that. That wouldn't really faze me too much. But I was thinking, I'm sure that I would be faced with my challenge, because life always finds a way to, when you set your intention, watch out. And so I was unsure about what it could be. And it did happen. Something very unexpected happened for me during the trip. And I had a big challenge. But it was not so much physical. It was an emotional and psychological challenge. And I tell my story in the book. Basically, I tell myself naked. I mean, I put it in a... all that went on during the trip without censoring too much. For instance, censoring what? for instance, you know, all those little stupid thoughts we all have,
right,
but we would never admit we have because because that's just the way generally we are, you know.
Right.
So I just put everything I could remember that happened for me. And
I love that you took such a big step, because I remember it's been, 2001, I think, for me when I got divorced. Obviously not from Rob, we got married in 2002, but you know, I had no idea for my big, you know, ooh, there's something different I'm going to do that I normally wouldn't have done is, ooh, I got a little tiny tattoo. Yeah, I taught dance to little kids, and so in that community I grew up in, it was kind of like, ooh, she's got a tattoo, oh my God. But, you know, that was a thing that I did, and I was like, this is for me, and I did it, and so even though it was small in that sense, it was a big step. And but I just know that going through divorce, and of course Rob and I have both faced that and gone through it, it can really throw up some nasty things at us and make us see some of our biggest, darkest aspects of ourselves, and some of our painful pieces as well, so.
Well, and I think we all think of that, but when that happens to us and when we go through that, we all think, you know, okay, this is a new beginning. And obviously you took that even farther here with going on this trip that started this new beginning in an amazing way. But so I'm curious what you really found out about yourself on this trip.
Well, because you touched this subject, and I totally agree with you, I just want to expand a bit. Having been through divorce and a very acrimonious and horrible, you know, divorce that lasted 2 years, it didn't need that, and it's so true. It doesn't have to be like that. There are people they can manage to go through it in an amicable way, and they, you know, they go through it, they grow from it, and so forth. But unfortunately, it wasn't my case. And I have to say that it's true. I remember an old woman saying to me, you know, divorce is worse than being a widow. Because in a way, if your partner dies, it's tough, obviously. But in a way, you have to come to terms with it. Whereas when you go through a divorce, it's weird because, especially if it's tough and the worst, the darkest parts pop up, you know,
yes,
for both people, it's almost like kind of going to hell and back. So in a way, I thought, oh, once the legal process is finished, I will be fine. Actually, I wasn't, because I never been through something like that before. I didn't know back then that after the process is finished, there is another process that starts, which is the healing process.
Right.
It's when you really, like, your body catches up with you, and so you start having all sorts of ailments, you're tired, and you can't get a grip to life, and it's just the reaction of everything you're kind of put up before. And so I didn't know that would happen. And so in a way, what happened to me, I committed to this thing, and at the same time my healing process started, so it was really tough. And then the journey itself down under, it was like kind of I think the darkest parts of me, the uncertainty, you know, the fact of feeling maybe not up to the situation, all those parts that we would rather leave in the bin, but we have them, they came up for me in a big way. And it was a very cathartic process. And that's why originally I wanted to produce a documentary, and so I set off with a camera and a camcorder because I wanted to film. But what happened, it was that an unpredictable accident made me lose the whole gear I had. So the thing that I wanted to do the most and I was looking forward the most, basically they were gone. And on the spot, I didn't realize I could have lost my life, but it wasn't important, because for me, it was I felt like I'm on a mission, because I realized that I had an opportunity for something that doesn't happen to everybody. And I wanted to take it for myself, of course, but I wanted to take something back that I could offer to whoever might be, you know, willing to look into it as a kind of giving back, you know. And so,
can I have a question here, because I want to make sure you have this opportunity here. Can you give some sort of an idea? What is something smaller that someone could do when they're facing something huge, whether it's maybe it is the death of a loved one, or as I mentioned before we started the show today, we had a little emergency last night with the family dog. And so for many people, of course, their pets are like family. So, you know, when they have something that they're facing, whether it's divorce or something else, but they can't, or maybe they're not brave enough even to go somewhere so far away and take such a big trip, what could they do on a smaller scale to help them have that big trip within?
Yeah, fantastic question. What it comes to mind as first thing is really being aware and tackling the healing process. Because when we go through something big in our life, whatever that might be, a death, bereavement, I don't know, redundancy, a move of house, whatever it is, there's always a healing journey within the other journey, which means we all find it tough. And so one of the many things that I learned is that, you know, as tough as it can be, you have to learn to be kind to yourself and become a good friend of yourself by observing what goes on in your mind. So by doing that, instead of allowing your mind to go bananas and like a horse, galloping everywhere, one thing that can be really useful is to, with lots of patience, because the mind can really drive us crazy, is that becoming as centered as possible by observing the thoughts that come through our mind. By doing that, in a way, even just if we don't do anything, meaning we don't, even if we don't see a therapist or whatever, it doesn't matter, but by learning to stay with it, to stay with our body, with our mind, and accepting what comes to the surface, by not judging it, it really helps, because the healing process in itself, what does it mean? It's just coming to terms mentally, emotionally with what happened in our life. And that in itself, it can be really challenging, because we all have judgment. So we might have this resentment, thinking that we have been deprived of something, was entitled to us, we have been mistreated, or whatever it might be. So to go through that healing time that allows us to regain our center, I find that the most useful thing and simplest things to do as well is to become aware that we are not normal, that we are out of balance, out of kilter. And so just once we are aware of this, remind ourselves, okay, I accept whatever is happening. I accept my thoughts, even if I might find them weird, and accept them, observe them without judging them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is one of the most difficult things to do.
Now, Gabriella, you said that it was 9 months from the time you signed up until you went on this journey. Do you feel that was a good thing, that time period in between, or do you think it would have benefited you more to do it right at that time when you signed up, up and you left like a week or two later, because your healing process has already started, you know, you've got 9 months, your healing process has already started. Did you start like a new healing process or a more advanced healing process once you went on the trip? How did that pan out for you?
What happened was that having that, committed to that, helped me like a little carrot, you know, like something that I knew that it would be so great for me. It was going to happen in several months. So the fact that I knew I wanted to prepare myself, you know, psychologically and also physically as much as I could, he gave me the motivation and the discipline to go through a kind of period where I wanted to train and you know, I wanted to be fit, I wanted to try to cleanse my body as much as possible, etc. And I think if I hadn't signed up to that, my process after divorce, you know, post-divorce, it would have been possibly much more difficult.
Interesting. So now what other things, you know, obviously this book isn't just about the trip itself, you know, there was a lot of soul searching in there. What other amazing and wonderful things did you find out about yourself?
Yeah, because I wrote it actually in 2011, so it was 3 years later, because okay. I was so, you know, going on with this idea, I wanted to produce a documentary. And then I reached a point where, you know, when sometimes in life things don't pan out and you eventually surrender, and I thought, well, if I at least write a book, you know, it can be read and sold everywhere in the world these days, right? So I thought, okay, I have to do this. And I done it in 2 weeks. I wrote it in 2 weeks. Yes, it was a quick labor of love. But what I done in it, I really squeezed in the essence of myself up to that point, obviously, because we never stop learning. And of course, the excuse for the book, it was the story of telling about this adventure, but in that adventure, I also put in, you know, if you want, my core wisdom. So for instance, I give you an example. I always thought, since a very early age, one of the biggest and best teacher in life is nature. So that's why I decided to go to Antarctica in the first place anyway. And so I described close contact with nature, what created in me. For instance, we camped out on the ice and, you know, it was a surreal experience. First of all, it was so cold, even if I had all my layers on, I was in a sleeping bag and under a tent, I couldn't sleep because it was so cold. It's like if it's so extreme and hot, for instance, you have a similar type, but you enter a different dimension, right? Also, the fact of lying, knowing that between you and the Milky Way, you know, the sky, there is only a tiny layer of fabric rather than, you know, mensory or whatever it is. You really feel the contact with nature. It can be, I don't know, mind-blowing. Another factor, for instance, that I couldn't know before, I thought Antarctica must be a very quiet, peaceful place. Actually, it's not, because the ice is a very moving element, and it's so loud. So the other reason why I couldn't sleep, it was because of the noise of the ice carving, you know, it cracks and then it falls into the sea, for instance. All stuff that, until you are in that situation, you don't know what happened to you. For instance, I had the opportunity, totally unexpected, I looked into a whale's eye. That was another mind-blowing moment that I will never forget. Mm-hmm. So moments like that, they make you, they trigger in you an awareness that's a universal. I don't know
how to replicate it. Yeah, sure, that's profound.
I find it interesting, and one of the things that I wonder about is, since you took, you know, three years later to write the book, and then you have a different perspective on it, mm-hmm. On all the transformation that happened to you on that trip, and I wonder how different the book would have been if you'd have written it right after you got back.
No, it would have
written
been...
Written it again 3 years later, how much contrast we would have seen in those books.
Yeah, it would have been different. I tell you what, after the trip, when I came back to normal life, at the time I was living in London, I tell you, not immediately, but I had another healing journey, because I couldn't fit back in my normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I didn't feel it, you know. You're still running on adrenaline. But once the adrenaline wears off, because it always does, you know, I started, possibly unconsciously, I started allowing myself to feel what I always pushed away. So I had another healing journey that I had to face and try to keep sane, because again, if you don't, until you are in a situation, you have no idea what that situation can create in you, in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just fascinated. I think that this book would be very touching for anybody going through a big, big shift in their lives. I think there's a lot of metaphorical pieces within that. You know, you're talking about the ice breaking and falling into the sea, and there's all these things going into my head, you know, somewhat poetically, I suppose, but you know, just a lot going on. I'm like, wow, some of that, you can really see how you can use that as a metaphor for the differences and the things that are breaking away from you and what you've gone through. And unfortunately, I know we're about to run out of time. So, Gabriella, could you make sure that you let everyone know how they can find you? Of course, we want to reiterate the title of the book and how they can get a copy of it. And if I remember correctly, you actually emailed me that you have a special offer for our listeners where they could get 50% off of your ebook if they send you a request for it.
Yes, they can contact me through my website, which is flyinginspiration.com, F-L-Y-I-N-G, and then inspiration, like having an inspiration in one word, flyinginspiration.com. And if they contact me and they just, you know, tell me that they heard this interview, I will send them instruction on how to purchase the book with 50% discount.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Love it. Excuse me, I just choked up. I'm sorry. I was going to reiterate the title of the book earlier. I'm so sorry. I got choked. So, of course, we want to make sure everybody knows it is Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. So we want you to find that. And again, we've been speaking with Gabriella, Guglielminacci Trevo. I think I messed up your middle one, but the beginning, I don't know. So thank you so much for your amazing, beautiful, wonderful insight. We greatly appreciate it, and I've loved spending time with you again today.
Thank you so much for having me again on your show.
Oh, absolutely. All right, everybody, I'm Dr. Janelle Alex.
And I'm Dr. Rob Alex. And join us again on the next show when we open another book.